How shall we begin today's service, being Reformation Sunday? It brings us back 500 years, when the great continent was plunged in darkness, and the church had become the citadel of Satan. Amazing, you say. I say we have an adversary who is smarter than you think. And when the church is taken over, what light can there be? The church is the instrument, the vehicle of light for God. So that in those days, the whole of Europe was under oppression. Masses of people only live and function as they were told by those in charge. Today, my dear friends, what a difference. You know, when you come to church, you can come with confidence, assurance. Assurance that we come here as children of God. In those days, no. You commit a sin, they go to the priest, and confession is made to the priest with no assurance of forgiveness. For the gospel was not preached. Today we have heard a wonderful gospel. So I want to share with you a song that will give us greatest comfort. We have our musicians, please. This song we don't know very well. By the way, the one who gave us this song is Dr. Sachs, and I spoke to him some days ago. And we had received news he had not been well. Now he says, the Lord has recovered him. So we praise the Lord. And this is his song. Ready singing.
His very own. His very own. Wonderful grace. His word is made known. Chosen by the Father, purchased by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own.
How about that wonderful song? Sing again.
His very own, His very own, wonderful. By the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own.
Your salvation is a combined effort of God the Father, God the Son who came for you, died on the cross for you, and when you look to Him in faith, the Holy Spirit sealed you, wrote your name in God's book of life. This is salvation. This is God's gift. Sing it with gratitude. Bring it home with you together.
His very own, His very own, wonderful grace. By the Son, sealed by His Spirit,
without the screen,
His very own, His very own, wonderful grace, word is made known by the Son, sealed by the Spirit, I'm His very own.
Do you like it? The proof is during the week you will sing it at home. Yeah, you like it? Remember it. Sing it because it strengthens your faith and makes you really a child of God, his very own. Now, today is Reformation Sunday. How many of you outside of this church have ever heard the word Reformation? Amazing. God's greatest salvation, deliverance to his people 500 years ago that revolutionized the whole world and gave birth to this church and all the Protestant churches, today is regarded as a forgotten word. Nobody mentions it. How is it? How is it that such an important event is forgotten? Answer, because the adversary has a plan to submerge the memory of this event. There is purposeful oblivion by the adversary, by the same great world organization out of which the church was emancipated, to suppress the event that brought the light to God's people. So, today, the Anglicans and the Roman Catholics gather together and make apology for Reformation. Apologize that there was such an event that caused upheaval in Europe, that we are sorry it ever happened, because it was only a quarrel among brethren. I say, dear friends, how subtle and cunning and crafty is our adversary to demolish memories of the Reformation. We thank God for that event. What kind of event is it? Today is OHP Day. Need to know, I have put on OHP because this is a very important day of teaching. Our focus is mainly on England because we come from English roots, all of us. Our church comes from the English-Scottish root, not European root. So we got to understand, essentially, Reformation is revival of the Word of God. Why was there the Dark Ages for 1,000 years? 5th century to 15th century, exactly 1,000 years. People were plunged in darkness. They thought they were all right because they belonged to a church, because they've been baptized, because they go faithfully and bow and kiss images. They thought they were all right. You ask them, hey, are you saved? I don't know. Where do you go after you die? Purgatory. All right. That is one system. And they had to have it because there's nothing else. Reformation was a revival of the Word of God. Essentially, God moved his people to take courage for those days to read and to interpret and to translate the Word of God was a risk that carried death. So I want to impress on you today, please. If you talk of Reformation, what happened? Answer, can you tell me now? What happened? Revival of the Word of God was the blessing that came with the Reformation. It is not a human organization. It is not the establishment of a church. But essentially, at the heart of the Reformation is revival of God's Word. And I say our attention is focused on England, because that's where our roots stem from. England, including Scotland, all right? All right? Three names are named here. John Wycliffe preceded the Reformation by 200 years. Amazing man. long before Luther, long before Calvin and Zwingli and the other people, God raised a man, a fearless man. And I say, dear friends, if you want to serve the Lord, you've got to be fearless. Fear none, only the Lord. Fear nobody, only God. That's what raised a man called John Wycliffe. And he taught the word, preached the word, translated the word from the Latin to the English. God moved him by the Spirit. He says, my people cannot read the Bible. Who knows Latin? How many of you know Latin? You know, in school, we were forced to study Latin for 4 years. Every week, we had to study Latin, Latin, Latin. Today, you ask me, do you understand Latin? Zero. Who can understand Latin? So, John Wycliffe says, let me translate from Latin to English so that my people can read God's word. What does God have to say to me? All right, he did it. He trained young preachers to go out to preach the word of God called Lollards. And they went at the risk of their lives, knowing that if they were caught by the Roman authorities, they would be burned at the stake. Did they stop? And my friends, we need people today like that. We need those who are fearless, as I said just now. Only fear God and not man. So they went. Many of them were caught. And with the Wycliffe Bible hung around their necks, they were burned. Did they stop? I said, dear friends, when they cared not for their body's safety, only that they might be faithful to the Lord who called them, they went. No stopping. John Wycliffe trained them, taught them to multiply, taught them to go to the stake without fear, and they did. They came for John Wycliffe to burn him, but God gave him a stroke in the heart, and he died. Save him. But, you know, 44 years later, they said, this fellow, let's dig up his bones and burn them. They did. John Wycliffe, the first hero of the Reformation, we call him the morning star of the Reformation. Please remember this word. Now, the one great name you all must know is William Tyndale. He was the hero of the Reformation in England. A man who was called of God, gave his entire life, no family life. His family is God's family. And he says, I will give my life to translate the word of God so that the poorest and the simplest English man or woman will know the word of God better than the priests of Rome. God honored his wish, but England was unsafe, so he had to flee and take refuge in Europe. But he completed the translation of the whole New Testament and most of the Old Testament. Dear friends, when you take this book, understand, 80% is Wycliffe. Understand, please? King James Bible, when you take it up, you say, thank God for Tyndale. All right. William Tyndale. Right. He translated from Hebrew and Greek. William Tyndale. So that every time you read, you say, thank God there was a Tyndale. Because he gave his life for it. He says, I know. If they catch me, they'll burn me. But am I afraid? No. I say, dear friends, when God's Spirit comes on you and you know you are an instrument of God in the hands of the Almighty, all fear is gone. My only concern is my life be lived for God's purpose. What is God's purpose in your life? Please ask yourself. So he gave his life in the year 1536. His friend, so-called, betrayed him. How sad to have friends who betray you. But in God's higher will, higher plan, he was betrayed. They caught him. They burned him. Did he stop? No. At the stake, he says, I pray. Listen to this. God will open the eyes of the King of England. That prayer was answered. Within 2 years, the king commanded all churches in England shall have a copy of Tyndale Bible. When Tyndale died, his unfinished work was taken over by his friend called John Rogers. John Rogers faithfully completed the work that was given to him. But the Roman authorities caught up with him. He was burned. I said, dear friends, please understand. This is the only Bible which costs the life of the translators. So that every time we read, we have a sense of gratitude. You know the Chinese saying, drink water, think of the source. Carry King James' Bible, think of those who gave their life for it, that we might read the Word of God. So, to impress on you, here is John Wycliffe, star of the Reformation, the morning star. Before the Reformation, he was there. This is William Tyndale. Master linguist, he says, I will use my knowledge of Hebrew and Greek to translate the scriptures at the cost of my life. You ask me, is it worth it? I ask you, is it worth it? Let a person die for his faith? Answer is, absolutely. For the final analysis, it's not how well you do on earth, but how well you appear in heaven before God. What have you done? So here we see this man. One purpose. Unflinching, unwavering. Never stopping. My life to be lived only for God. And that my country people may read the Word of God. Today they have no access, but let it be that when I finish my life, everyone in England can read the Word of God for himself. I say the same here. It has been my one burden from 1950, long time ago. You say, what burden? When I was asked to look after the Sunday school children, I say, one thing I do, that every Sunday school child would know the Word of God. Nothing else matters. So, may that be your concern, and please, let not your King James Bible be a decoration, please. Faithful unto death, they took him to the stake. They burned him. I say, the body they may burn. The spirit and the soul triumph still. God is able. After William Tyndale came John Rogers. When he went to his death, his wife and 10 children lined up the street to see their father go. But he did not recant. Out of the Reformation, therefore, comes that great saying. You need not study Latin, but here it is. Sola scriptura. What does sola means? You know what is solo? You fly solo means fly yourself alone. Only scripture matters. In all your life, nothing else matters. You have the Word of God, love it, read it, practice it, propagate it, tell people about it, every day live in it. Sola scriptura. Right? Remember this saying. And out of it comes sola fide, only faith. Sola gratia, only grace. And solus Christus, only Christ. These are the four war cries or mottos out of the Reformation that revived the church. I say, may it revive you also today. For the same Spirit must come to us. Now you say, tell me more about King James Bible, which I will do now. Well, why King James? Because there were a number of Bibles. And the people of God says, let's have one. It's very difficult if you have five Bibles, all good, more or less. If the Geneva Bible, the Great Bible, the Matthew Bible, and all those cover day Bible. So the people gathered together, let's have one final Bible. They petitioned the king, and the king authorized, let the Bible be translated. So it carries two names. The official name is Authorized Version. Authorized. Because the king gave the command. So there is authority. Authorized. Today we refer to it as King James Bible. 1611. Now, why is this Bible so important? Dear friends, do you know that there is no Bible that is hated like the King James Bible by the Roman Catholic Church? Many other Protestant Bibles, they approve. Living Bible, Revised Standard Version, New English Version, and a few others. All right. Approve, you can read. But not King James. Why? Because King James was a symbol of the great movement of the Holy Spirit during the Reformation to get out of the Roman Church. That was his symbol. And that Bible carries the spirit of the Reformation. So I've given you here, it is a Reformation Bible as well as the Martyr's Bible. No other Bible translation cost the blood of two men. None other. Please understand this. So when you carry this, you know there is great meaning to this book. It cost the blood of the martyrs to give you this book. That's why it is so hated by Satan. There are five things unique about this Bible. The thinking of the translators is very, very important. You are given the task of translating, and if you think of ungodly things, it goes into the Bible, right? But these people, in their thinking, were godly thinkers, right? The translators were faithful. They were handpicked men of scholarship and given only one task, translate the Bible with about five or six other Reformation Bibles as reference. Study them. Godly works. Incorporate all into one. Out of that came King James Bible. The texts. You say, how do you know it's God's word? Let me ask you, where did this come from? This is a crucial question today. Answer for manuscripts, copies. For nobody on earth has the original because they worn out and disappeared. Those are called autographs, I'll show you in a minute. But this Bible comes from texts and manuscripts which were preserved, the best. Over 5,000 copies are available. A great mess of copies. The best, God preserved. The technique. I said, dear friends, only this Bible is faithful word for word. All the 100 modern Bibles are thoughts for words. You read the word, you have a thought, you put in your own ideas. That's called dynamic equivalence. But this Bible says formal or verbal equivalence. If the word says so, I say so. I don't say the word says something I think is like it, my idea I put in. You don't. For scripture is of no private interpretation. You got to be faithful. Finally, the theology was faithful because these men preceded the advent of modern thought. These men translated in the 17th century, 1604 to 1611, before the advent of modern thought. What is modern thought? Can you tell me what? I'll give you one example. Darwinism and evolutionism, higher criticism, materialism, rationalism. All these are man-made ideas. Man sits in authority to judge the word of God and to bring in all kinds of ideas that demolish the word of God. These men were there before those things came in. All those that came after that gave you the 100 modern Bibles, all of them were tainted. And thinking along different lines. Now to help you to understand better. As I mentioned, God spoke, and we read just now, holy men wrote or spoke as they were moved of the Holy Spirit. This is fundamental theology. How do you know it's God's word? God spoke. Then what happened? God moved through the Holy Spirit certain men. Holy men, hand-picked men, those who were committed and given entirely under the control of the Holy Spirit to translate, they did it. All right? We do not have autographs today. We do not have. We only have manuscripts, MSS, only remain, only. Now you hold this Bible. You don't hold the manuscripts. But this Bible comes from the manuscript, you must understand. Not from the original, because there's no original. Now, I was greatly puzzled 10 years ago, more than 10 years. Our constitution says we believe the Bible, the word of God, to be infallible, inerrant, inspired, all that kind of thing. I said, very good. I agree. Inerrant, infallible means no mistake, unable to make mistake. You follow? No mistake, unable to make mistake. This word. How can I be sure? This did not come from the autograph. So I must convince myself it came from trustworthy texts or copies, right? Question, how sure are you the manuscripts are correct? How sure can you be? Did you go and study the 5,000 manuscripts and say, after my research, I'm very satisfied it's correct? Let me ask you this. Did anyone here do that? Worshipping the wrong God. You're walking the wrong way. If my God is a God who does not lie, and He gives me His word, which I know is His word, and I say, some parts is right, most parts is right, but some parts I doubt, I don't think is right. I say, you are in a very sad situation. Agree? Then you ask me, how do you know? How are you sure the manuscripts are all right? I say, I did not read the 5,000 manuscripts, but I can trust. By faith, if my constitution says inerrant, infallible, and that is written by the great men of God from years ago, and I'm wanting to go to heaven by this guidebook, this only guidebook, how can I be sure if I think all the times I believe that there are mistakes in here? Answer to this question, how sure are you? Answer is, by faith. By faith. There's no other way. None of us can go and study the 5,000 manuscripts. But I say, God who saved me surely has given me a book that is without error. I can trust it. There are some parts who are very puzzling. Some parts who apparently makes no sense. What do I do? I've encountered this question from my childhood days. And I've no doubt many of you have the same problem. What do you do? Answer, Lord, I believe you are the God of truth. Parts I do not understand. I wait till the day I stand before your throne and surely you tell me the answer. Until then, I don't doubt. Can you take this? Yes or no? Why are you looking so blank? Yes or no? By faith, dear friends, we cannot know everything, but I say, God who gave me the Bible, faithful, true, absolutely. I don't understand everything, but I know God understands it. So here it is. Answer is God preserved in all those thousands of manuscripts. Those godly scholars, they did the study. Can you trust them? Answer, yes. How? By faith. They give us this one Bible at the cost of blood. And I say, I am quite contented that God has given me a Bible without mistake. So I say, while I do not have the autographs, but I have the apographs, all the manuscripts, and God who gave the word sees to it that those copies are preserved. That is the source of my King James Bible, and I'm satisfied. Yes, dear friends, now comes to this. What is VPP? All right, I have explained very simply to you so that once and for all you can dismiss any kind of doubts about what it means. There is nothing mysterious. There is nothing difficult. V means verbal. When you speak, you verbalize. Understand? The word verb you all understand. And it refers to the words. Plenary, meaning complete. What's the use of having a Bible say 99% okay, 1% not good? You agree to that? My friends, read the word. Be persuaded that God has given us a complete Bible. Not part of it right, part of it wrong. So we say plenary, meaning all the words, complete. Preservation, who preserves? Did you? Did anyone? God who gave the word also preserved it. How did he preserve? By his almighty Holy Spirit. I don't know how, but I believe if this word I can say is inerrant, infallible, I can believe that God has also preserved. So here is VPP, verbal plenary preservation, kept pure and free from error. 10 years ago, I was very exercised, meaning troubled. So I began to study this whole matter of Bible preservation. How can I be sure? Answer came. This book is in the book room. If you have not read it, I urge you to read it. Yes. Beyond versions. Why are there so many versions? Today, over 100 modern English Bibles. Which is the correct one? Oh, my friends, the adversary is smarter than you and I. Yep. He floods the market with 100, everyone claiming to be most up-to-date, more accurate, more readable. I say all these satanic inventions. Read Beyond Versions. The great Bible scholar. And for this, I advise you to get the book. Here is the actual book itself. On the back cover, here is a statement out of Dean Bergen of Oxford, a great Bible scholar. And he says, you probably can't read the words, but I'll read for you. He says, the Bible is none other than the voice of him that sits upon the throne. Every book of it, every chapter of it, every verse of it, every syllable of it, every letter of it, is the direct utterance of the Most High. The Bible is none other than the Word of God, not some part of it more, some part of it less, but all alike the utterance of him that sitteth upon the throne, faultless, unerring, supreme. So this is the Dean Bergen Oath, publicly affirmed by the faculty of Far Eastern Bible College to reinforce them in the most holy faith. Now, Satan never rests. As soon as this Bible came out, they said, we must take action against the Bible. But in those days, it was not possible because the general sentiment from the highest to the lowest was, praise God, we have a national Bible. This is the symbol of our faith that God has delivered us out of the Roman Church. And this is the symbol and the flagship of the whole Reformation is King James Bible. So nobody dared to touch it for 250 years. End of 250 years, the forces of Rome, the apostate Church of England worked together and they clamored, we must revise. This has got what? Listen to this. This I took from the preface to the revised version of the Bible, American version. King James Bible has grave defects. Defects many and serious. Therefore, we must have revision. I say, Satan is smarter than you think. It cannot demolish and destroy this Bible, but let's bring in more Bibles to compete. And once that happened, 100 contaminated modern English Bibles came into the market. Read this, please. It analyzes NIV, RSV, NAB, LB, all the rest that you need to know. In our church constitution, we have this statement. Constitution 4:1 says, we believe all scripture is pure, providentially preserved forever. That is VPP, preserve. In the words altogether. We believe the only Bible which answers to the Constitution, this one, 4:1, is the King James Bible. That is to ensure that our church does not deviate. For we came out of a movement that goes back to the Word of God. But in the 1970s, some of our own BP churches began to veer away and introduce NIV. Today, those churches are openly using NIV. And NIV is a poisonous Bible, which denies the virgin birth, denies the blood of Jesus Christ, Saviors, and many other doctrines in the NIV. You read it casually, you say, perfect. Yeah, it's like milk. I put one drop of arsenic in your milk every day and you drink it, you say, perfect. After 1 year, you die. Okay? Please don't read and say, huh, Dr. Toh, you're wrong. I read NIV, it's very good. I got saved by NIV. Possible? Yes. Possible. But when you read the whole Bible in the vital areas, all those contaminated ideas are there. Now this is the latest attack on the KJV. How do you like this? This comes from a source quite close to us. It says, to say the KJV is perfect is idolatry. So here I am this whole morning telling you, idolatry. Right? This is what it says. KJV perfect is idolatry. From the same source, KJV BPP is a tyrannical bondage on the faith of God's people, and there are errors in English and in the original language text of the KJV. This is an assertion that comes into our church from a close source. God deliver us from all these attacks. Now we shall close. The time is over. The passage read by Dr. Elder Lim, we will read again. If you follow me, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Please listen carefully and follow. We are about to conclude. Time is over. Verse 20 says, know this. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake. And I repeat that, holy men of God wrote to give us the autographs, after that the apographs, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now comes the crunch. Chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, attacking our King James Bible today, right in our midst. It's happening, but predicted by the word of God in 2 Peter 2:1. Bring in damnable heresies that if you believe the King James Bible to be without mistakes, you are committing idolatry. Even denying the Lord that brought them, that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for sound minds and the illumination of the Holy Spirit and the working in our hearts. O Lord, enable us that we will love thy word. Not only love it, but read it, obey it, and propagate it until the Lord Jesus returns. Amen.